our Bibles tonight, the book of Ephesians. We're going to begin there in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin there in verse 1. I entitled this message, Walking Worthy. Walking Worthy, because of what we can see here in the very first part of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, as we get into our text here tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 1, walking worthy. And that is just one of the things the Apostle Paul is going to bring up here in the book of Ephesians as he begins to speak and continue to talk to the Ephesians about a whole host of different things that he's been speaking to them about. Of course, still carrying on some of the thought and idea of the Lord, of what the Lord Jesus has done by bringing both Jew and Gentile together. And he's going to carry that thought in the very first part here of Ephesians chapter 1, really in verses 1 through 6 as well. And as we begin there in verse 1, notice what he says. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so there in verse 1, the Apostle Paul, I like what he says when he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. If it said the prisoner by the Lord, it would actually kind of mean a little bit different. But we understand that the Apostle Paul is in prison because this is where the Lord has desired for him to be, so that he can, so that God can use him in this capacity. But when he says, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord," what it kind of speaks to me about, and what I kind of see there, is that not only does he acknowledge that he's where he's at because that's where God has placed him, where he needs him to be, but he's also willing to be there if that's where God needs him to be. Does that make sense? And so it says, if he would have said, I therefore the prisoner by the Lord, it would almost seem kind of maybe condemning, or I'm here because this is where God put me. And of course, we understand that God had placed him here for a particular purpose and reason. But I think by this text, when he says it like this, we can see that Paul is not only understanding that he is there in this place, in prison, serving the God in this capacity because God has placed him here, but he's also willing to do and be where God wants him to be. So he's not. So he's in essence not fighting against God. He's not struggling against God. But he is giving a prime example of what he has said earlier, before, in saying, "I die daily." And so he is dying daily to himself. Of course, we see that in the Gospels. We take it up our cross and die daily to the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul definitely giving a good illustration, an example of himself by being in this particular place where he's at. Then God's using him in this capacity, but he is also willing to be where it is that God would like for him to be, even if it's not in the most comfortable position, even if it's not in the most comfortable place, but he is willing to be and do that which God is willing for him to be and do at that particular moment. And so he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so as he lets them know, of course, that I'm here in prison, and I'm here that as I'm following the Lord in this capacity, I'm doing what God's called me to do here at this moment, here at this time, in this prison. He says, I'm beseeching you. He said, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so listen, no matter where you're at, no matter what challenge, no matter what, if we want to call it a distress or whatever position that God has placed you in, wherever you are called, he says, listen, just like me right here where I'm at, he's not in the most comfortable position. I'm sure that he would rather be out and doing other things, but he also knew that God knows best. He also knew that God had placed him where he's at for a reason and for a purpose at this particular time, which is, of course, to write these epistles that we're preaching on tonight. But not only that, but we can see, as I said already, that he is willing to be where it is that God has him to be at that moment. And so as he brings that very thought out, he says, I beseech you. Listen, I've talked about where I'm at. I've talked about the position that I'm in, but what about you? He says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Listen, despite where you're at, despite where you're called, despite maybe perhaps the uncomfortableness or despite the situation, walk worthy of that which, walk worthy in the vocation of which you were called. But the Apostle Paul was trying to teach him, listen, I'm trying to do the same thing. Here I am, I'm in prison, and I'm trying to allow God to use me here. This is where I'm at right now.
This is where he's placed me, and I'm submitting to his will in doing that which he wants me to do. But I'm also, you know, at the very same time, just saying, listen, as I'm doing this, I'm asking that you do the very same thing. Regardless of where you're at, regardless of what position you're in or challenges that you may face, he says, listen, I beseech you that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, that word walk there is, of course, a verb. That is something that that is an action word, something that we are participating in, something that we are doing. And listen, the Christian life, that's what it is, right? The Christian life is about participation. It's about working. It's about serving. It's about being about the Master's business. You know, we've said it many times before, and maybe you've heard it said before as well, when we got saved, God didn't save us to sit. He saved us, of course, for us to serve, for us to serve Him, to be a servant of the Lord. And so he says, as I am here in this position, facing the challenges that I face, he says, I'm asking you, while you're out there and you're facing the challenges that you face out there, walk worthy of the vocation that God's called you to. Whatever it could be, the vocation, has the idea of the job or the career path, if that's what you want to say, the vocation, whatever calling that God has called you to, whatever it could be, walk worthy of that, whether you're a pastor or whether you're even a Sunday school teacher or whether you're nothing of the like, but whatever it is that you do for God, and listen, whatever you do for God, it's great. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is that you do for the Lord in the name of the Lord, man, it is something great. Don't minimize your service to God. Don't let anybody else do that as well. You do it for God, and it is something great in the sight of God. He says, but listen, whatever it is that God's called you to do, whatever vocation that may be, whatever it could be, you walk worthy of that. In the place when you're called. And of course, what was our calling? Our calling was to get saved. Our calling was to come to Him. And of course, in the midst of that calling, what do we enjoy? Characterize us as? If we're called and we're saved, that means we are supposed to be living a life that is what separated, holy and righteous and pure unto the Lord. The Bible says, "Be holy as I am holy." And so he says, "Listen, if God's called you, He's called you unto righteousness. He's called you unto holiness. He's called you into a separated life. You know, come out from among them and be you separate. He's called you unto this." And so in light of that calling, in light of your salvation, in light of who Christ is, and in light of who we represent, walk worthy in the position that God's placed you in. Walk worthy in whatever job that God has for you to do. And I think that's extremely important as God's people, that whatever it is that God's called us to do, that we try to do the best that we can to walk worthy of that, walk worthy of that place that God's called us, whatever it could be. It doesn't matter what it is, that we would be a people that would represent the love of God, the people that would represent the light of the Lord, and a people that would demonstrate forgiveness, a people that would live a life of righteousness and integrity and these types of things as we go out into the world. And he says, listen, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord, listen, in this place, in this uncomfortable place, maybe even dark and damp and dreary and not exactly like I would like for it to be, even in this place, I'm doing what I can. You know, you can almost kind of see the Apostle Paul saying, listen, I'm doing what I can to try to be an example in this place where I'm at, to also be a light, to also represent the love of God and to tell people about the Lord Jesus and to represent Him in the position that He has called me in. So you do the very same thing in that which God has called you, and that which where God has called you, that you, in whatever position that may be, that you walk worthy of that, wherefore you are called. We are called to be holy, called to be righteous, called to be representatives, ambassadors of the Lord. So in the light of who we represent, in the light of that, make sure that you do what you can to walk worthy in that vocation, walk worthy in that calling, live a life of holiness and integrity, and represent the Lord Jesus well. There in verse 2, with all, and how are we going to do this? Notice what he says there in verse 2. If we're going to represent the Lord Jesus, and we're going to be a light out in the world, and we're going to be the salt of the earth, and in this position that we have been called to, whatever it could be, we can see in the scriptures, the Bible also tells us, and listen, that not everybody's called to do the same thing. I mean, what does the Bible say? If the finger was to say to the foot, you know, why are you here, you know, and so such and such.
There's not any of us that is any better or different. We're all connected to the body, regardless of where we are on the body. We're all still interconnected, and we all have different functions, and we all do different things. As he shows us there in verse 2, how are we going to do this? Whatever that calling may be, how are we going to do this? He says, with all lowliness. With all lowliness. And so, if I'm going to serve God and I'm going to be a representative of the Lord, what do I want to do? Man, I want to represent Him with a heart of humility, right? With lowliness, with a heart of humility, with a heart that's going to, with not a prideful heart. You know, the Bible says that the Lord resists the proud, but giveth grace there unto the humble. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that as we serve God and as we represent God to each other and out here in the world, that we are a people that that comes out with a lowliness of heart, that we have humility, that we exemplify humility in our life. Because you know what? The Lord Jesus did the very same thing. He exemplified humility in his life. You know, there when they come to get him in the garden, he had all them soldiers, they come out there to get the Lord Jesus there. And when they came out there to get him, he said, don't you know that I can presently call legions of angels right now? This very moment. I mean, at the blink of an eye, at the word of Christ, he could have ended it all right there, but he did not. And we see that he demonstrated meekness. He demonstrated holiness. He demonstrated lowliness, humility there in his life. With all lowliness and meekness. Meekness, of course, has the idea of gentleness. Has the idea of, as someone has said before, meekness isn't weakness. It's power under control. It is power under control. The Lord Jesus exemplified that. And so whenever we're out here in the world, what do we want to do? We want to exemplify these things in our life. And whatever it is that God's called us to do, wherever it is that God's called us to go, that we exemplify meekness in our life, that we exemplify the humility in our life. You ever been around folks that, man, they were so prideful, there wasn't nothing that you could ever do that would ever be better than them. I mean, if you ever mentioned that you did something, they always had something they'd done a whole lot better than that. Well, that ain't nothing. Listen to this. You know? And you can't, no matter what you said, you can't never top. You can't never be better than this type of person. And the Lord says, and the Bible shows us here, listen, we're going to serve God. Let us do it in a humble way. Let us do it with lowliness. And he also says there, with meekness, with gentleness of a spirit, so to speak. Notice what else he says there in verse 2. As we serve God, we want to do it in humility. We also want to do it in a spirit of meekness. He also says there, with long suffering. The idea is serve God with long suffering. In other words, kind of like this, try not to let your patience run out to the very end where it just blows up and explodes. Kind of like something like long suffering, that you're able to not, that you don't allow yourself to be short tempered, that you are long suffering, that you are long patient. Does that make sense? I tell you what, don't we serve a God tonight that's long suffering? Man, praise God, he's been long suffering with every single one of us here today. I mean, God, at any second, at any moment, he could have just been done with all of us. But you know what? By his grace and mercy, because it's renewed every single morning, his long suffering endureth forever and forever. The Bible shows us there in verse 2. That when we serve God, we want to do it with a humble heart, we want to do it with meekness, and we want to do it with long suffering. Because when we do that, what do? We are representing Christ in some tremendous ways. I mean, we are demonstrating who Christ is in our service to God. We are demonstrating who Christ is to a lost and fallen dark world. Whenever when we serve God with a humble heart, when we serve God with meekness, and when we serve God with long suffering. And listen, we have to serve God with long suffering out there in the world, because listen, that's a pretty serving God out there in the world sometimes can be pretty rough. You know, we can face some different things, you know, even more challenges. But listen, sometimes, let's be honest with you, sometimes God's people has to be long suffering with God's own people. Amen. Sometimes God's people has to be long suffering with God's own people, because listen, we're all sinners, right? We're still sinners, right? None of us is perfect. And so what happens is, listen, sometimes there's personality conflicts, and sometimes, man, different things happen. But what we want to do is demonstrate long suffering. And when we demonstrate long suffering towards each other, and we demonstrate long suffering out there in the world, we are able to, in essence, really exemplify really who Christ is. Being patient with each other, being patient out there in the world, being long suffering. Long suffering. With lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, and forbearing one another in love, to forbear one another, to help each other, to
when someone, kind of like yoking up with someone, when someone who is going through a difficult time and they are struggling, what do? You come up beside of them, you yoke up with them, and you help them to forbear the load. And you do it in a loving way. You do it in a meekful way. You do it in a long suffering way. You do it in a lowly way. You forbear one another in love. You help one another. You submit to one another. You support one another. And that's what that whole idea is, to forbear one another, to love each other, to support each other, to help each other to carry the load.
Listen, sometimes loads get kind of hard. Sometimes loads get kind of difficult. Man, I'll tell you what, it gets poured on us. And you ever been sitting there thinking to yourself, man, I feel like I'm in this thing on my own.
And listen, sometimes we can feel that way. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that we have a Father in heaven that the Lord tells us, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord Jesus yokes up with us. And we have a God in heaven that gives us strength and promises that he is a present help in time of trouble. And so despite what we may face and go through and challenges that is out there, we have a God that helps us to forbear our burdens. And so, and likewise, we do the same, to forbear one another in love, to support each other, to be there for each other, to yoke up with each other, to help each other carry the load when things are difficult and things are tough and things are overbearing. What we want to do is we want to forbear. We want to help each other, to support each other, to encourage, to give strength. Listen, how many of you know that sometimes, you ever had a day where you're just like, man, you. sometimes just by breakfast, you have this day and you just start shaking your head and you just start rubbing your eyebrow and you think, man, I still got 8 hours, or I still got 10 hours. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through this. I was kind of having one of those this morning, and I was just like, man alive, I ain't been here but 2 hours, and man, I still got all this whole day left. How am I going to make it through? And listen, sometimes we just have days like that. But you know what makes a difference? You know what makes a difference? Kind of like how I was talking about how Brother Kenny Baldwin sends me that text on Sunday morning. Just a word of encouragement. That's all that it took. When I wake up on Sunday, when my phone goes off on Sunday morning, and I look over, I already know who it is, and I look over there, and I see that Brother Kenny is sending me a message of encouragement, sending me a message of love, that I know that right now at this very moment, that brother is on his knees and he's praying for me and praying for my church. I tell you what, that's an encouragement to me. That is a blessing to me. And I tell you what a blessing and encouragement that is to each other. Man, when you just give a kind word to someone, or maybe you just recite a scripture to somebody one day because they're going through some difficult times or whatever it could be, man, just things like that. Then in our minds, it seems so small and it seems so simple, but what it did was it was a pillar to that other person that you gave it to. Does that make sense? It was a pillar to them.
To us, it may seem like it was nothing. It may seem small, but to them, it was exactly what they needed to forbear one another and to do it in love, to carry each other's burdens in love, to help each other in love. There, verse 3. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there in verse 3, we can see as he continues to talk of how we're going to serve God, he says the one thing we want to do is, he said, we want to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. To endeavor means to intensely labor. To endeavor, it means the idea of let us make sure that nearly above all else, there is one thing we want to make sure that we do.
We want to put this right here at the top of the list.
We want to endeavor. We want to do all that we can. We want to labor. We want to strive to do everything we can to keep the unity, of the Spirit, to promote the unity of the Spirit, to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Now, why would the Apostle Paul be saying this to the church in Ephesus?
One reason why in particular. Because you have a whole bunch of people that are coming in that they're all new converts, and you got Greeks that are coming in, you got Gentiles that are coming in from all different kinds of places that have been saved from paganism and all this kind of stuff. But not only that, who else have we been talking about? Not just Gentiles, but the who? But the Jews, now that the Jews are in there, they're all sitting there in one place. And what has Paul been constantly preaching about, even before we're at right now? Talking about how the Lord Jesus died on the cross and broke away the middle wall of partition. And now they're all one body. You know, they're all coming together. And so now he's looking at them all and he's seeing them all. And he says, listen, you're all out there together now. You're all a part of the same body. You are all one church. And what you need to make sure that you do is to keep that spirit of unity, because you've all come from different backgrounds. You've all come from different places. And the Jews, man, it'd be very easy for the Jews to come in here, or for some, you know, for even a jealous Jew, maybe perhaps, to come in there and sit there in the pew and say, well, look at all them Gentiles over there. They're enjoying the same God that I serve and enjoying the same benefits that I'm going to have. And he's sitting up there. He's not circumcised or anything like that, you know. And then next thing you know, he gets all these other ones all stirred up. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he tells them, you got to make sure that you don't let that stuff happen. There's going to be people that'll come in. They'll try to sow discord. People that'll come in, they'll try to get things going. He says, listen, you got to do everything you can to preserve the unity of the Spirit, to preserve it in the bonds of peace. That's why he tells them, listen, when you're going to serve God, they're all coming together to serve God. You got Gentiles that are coming in and they're saved from paganism and the great Diana of the Ephesians. And then you got the Jews that are coming in and they're coming. They're just new converts coming out from the law and all of this. And he's looking at all of them and he's saying, listen, how are we all going to serve together? Coming from all these different places, how are we going to serve together and do a good job at serving God? We're all going to have to make sure that we serve with a heart of humility. With a heart of humility, not being prideful. You know, the Jews not sitting up there saying, well, you know, we followed Moses and we this, and I'm circumcised and all this kind of other. And the Jew and the Gentiles over here not bragging about who they are, what they done, and where they came from. He says, no, you're all going to have to come together. You're all now under one body because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done there on the cross. And as you come together, you're going to have to serve together with a heart of humility. You're going to have to serve. You're going to have to serve God with a meek spirit, and you're going to have to walk worthy of that position that God has called you to. You're going to have to be long suffering with each other. I mean, we're talking Jews and Gentiles that are now together in one church sitting together, and he says, listen, y'all going to have to be long suffering towards each other. They're going to have to get used to this, and y'all going to be long suffering towards each other. You're going to have to forbear one another. Now listen, I've said it. And I've said it a long time ago, and I still say it now. Fellowship makes family. Fellowship makes family. And when you fellowship together, and when you bear one another's burden, and when you bear one another's burdens, and you are, when you're in the ditch together, you form bonds. Does that make sense? When you get down in the ditches together, you start forming closer bonds, and you start forming closer friendships and fellowship. Makes family. And that's exactly what I think the Apostle Paul wants them to do and see and understand, is he says you need to forbear one another in love. Forbear one another in love. You're going to come together and you're going to help each other, and you're going to do it in love, not with griping and grumbling, but you're going to come together and you're going to do it in love. Because listen, if you will do this, if you'll forbear one another and you'll do it with love, if you'll serve God with meekness, with a meek spirit, if you'll desire to be long suffering with your fellow brethren, if you will do it with a humble heart, you know what you're doing? You're setting the recipe of success for the local church right there. And that's what he desires for them to do. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Capital S there, speaking of the Holy Spirit there. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Laboring, promoting, pressing towards it. Doing everything you can to preserve the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. Now, if it's in the bond of peace, that means if it's bonded, kind of they have the idea of something that's kind of cemented or sealed. We're going to be cemented together. We're going to be sealed together. We're going to endeavor. We're going to strive. We're going to labor to do everything we can to promote and preserve a spirit of unity. And what we're going to do is we promote this spirit of unity. We're going to promote this spirit of meekness and humility and love. We're going to do it all in love, and then we're going to cement it. With the Lord, we're gonna seal it. We're gonna cement it. That being has the idea of it's being bonded together, so that it cannot be separated, so that it cannot come unglued, so to speak. And the Apostle Paul is trying to get them to see that. Listen, if you'll do all of this, If you'll do all of this, then you're setting yourself, you're setting everything up for a perfect place, for a good place, for everything to be cemented and bonded together and done in peace. Because he goes on to say there in verse 4, he says, there's what? One body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, watch this now, who is above all. Now, Father who is above all, that's all authority. That's all that there is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Father who is above all and through all. That means that the idea that he's ever present and ever providing in all things, by him, all things consist. He is the Father of all. He is above all. He is through all. You can't go anywhere where God's not present. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And he says, and watch this now, and through all, but not only is he everywhere, but the Bible also says, and in you all. And so it says, this very same God, this very same God, very same Spirit, very same Lord, very same faith, all these things, the same God, he says, is in you all. Those of you that are saved, both Jew and Gentile, you're sitting there together, and it says, listen, all of you, underneath, all of you, in this body, all of you, in this place, Jew and Gentile together, you all have the same Spirit, capital S. You all have the same Spirit that lives and dwells in you. You've all been saved by the blood of Christ. You all have the same Father which is in heaven, every single one of you. And not only is he present on the outside in our life, but he is present on the inside of our life. He has sealed himself within us. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and seals himself within us. And he says, and through all and in you all. We become, when we get saved and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, the Bible in essence tells us later on that our bodies become the temple of the Spirit of God. And so he lives and dwells in us. And as the Apostle Paul is looking out there to the Jews and Gentiles, he's telling them, listen, when you come together, man, serve God in love and serve God and serve God with long suffering and serve God with humility and lowness of heart. Serve God with meekness and serve God forbearing one another. And man, make sure you endeavor. Make sure you do everything you can to keep the unity of the Spirit. Make sure you do everything you can to cement it in the bond of peace. Because listen, the devil's always looking to come to stir it up. Amen. The devil's always looking to come to stir it up. He's always looking to come and mess it up. He's always looking to come and to come in and tear this apart. You have these Jew and Gentiles have now come together, and the Apostle Paul's through this letter is showing them how they can, in essence, get along and do well. But they always got to understand, not only they are fighting against the world, they're fighting against the devil, they're fighting against themselves, and some of them are probably fighting against their traditions and things that they've been taught, and they're new converts, and they're trying to put this old life out of their way, and they're trying to now learn this new way, which is through Christ. And listen, some of them might be struggling, and he says, and he's trying to address that here, that there is one body and one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope for your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Man, praise the Lord. Good portion of Scripture there. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, you have been far better to us than we deserve. Lord, I pray tonight that you just help each and every single one of us here this evening, God, just to humble ourselves before you and to seek your face. Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, we ask, God, that you would just point it out to us. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless our church and to have your hand upon us, Lord. And as we get ready to leave and go out these doors today, we ask, God, that you keep us safe. And we pray, Lord, that you just help us to be an effective witness to others and help us, God, to be a light out here in our communities. And, Lord, we pray that that you would just give us a good night as we get ready to come back on Friday. And that, Lord, that you would just bless our night. And then, of course, on Sunday, Sunday's always coming. And unless you come back first, but, Lord, we are looking forward to a good weekend already. We just thank you so much, God, for your love. We thank you for your
long-suffering in our life every day. Lord, I pray that you just bless us tonight. Keep us safe as we go home. We love you and thank you for it all. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.